Okay, let's just check our diary dates here, because you've definitely got this in your diary.
Yes.
Well, Sunday the 9th of June.
Dear diary, on Sunday the 9th of June, I will be...
dressing up in fancy dress.
Yeah.
And doing the big walk for Alzheimer's Research UK.
Yes.
And we're joined in the studio this morning by Charlotte. Morning, Charlotte. You're from PricewaterhouseCoopers.
I am indeed.
And you're involved in the big walk in a big way, because you've done all this before, haven't you?
Yes. So back in 2011, me and quite a few of my work colleagues got together, and we all got together and did the big walk, and it was fantastic fun. We had sunshine, so it was a lovely day. We were very, very lucky. And so done it before.
Okay, so this is the same course as we're going to be doing this year?
No, it was a different one which I did. So it was back in 2011.
Right.
I did it. Last year I couldn't do it because I was actually in sunny Spain.
People show no commitment, do they? We've cancelled holidays and everything to be there. Yeah.
So this year is the first year of this course which I'll be doing.
Okay, so what is it about you and about PwC, and what is it about you and your links to Alzheimer's? Why them?
So back in 2011, I supported Alzheimer's UK, Alzheimer's Research UK, because my nan has been diagnosed with dementia and later diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she's not very well. So I supported Alzheimer's through the big walk in that year. And this year, one of my other work colleagues, she's affected, her family's affected also by Alzheimer's. So at our AGM, we kind of vote in the charity of the year.
Oh, right.
And Alzheimer's Research UK was voted in as our charity of the year for this year. So we've been trying to kind of connect ourselves a bit more with Alzheimer's Research UK.
Yeah.
and support them through both fundraising and, you know, helping out wherever we can.
Because as you said, it just seems that everybody's got somebody.
Yeah.
And from your point of view, it's a very upsetting thing, isn't it, to see it happen to a member of your family?
Oh, absolutely. So when my nan, last time I saw her, she'd be waking me up in the middle of the night saying, you know, I'm sorry. And I didn't realise what she was apologising for, which is very, very sad. But, you know, it's kind of sad how much it's affected her.
Well, these sort of lucid moments she was having then, when she was realising what was happening to her.
Yeah, so it was it was very, very sad. So it kind of makes you realise. And actually, when Alzheimer's Research UK was voted in as our charity of the year, just speaking to people around the office, it was amazing how pretty much everybody either was personally affected by it or knew someone who was affected by it. Pretty much everyone had a link to it in some way, shape or form, which I think was why it was so popular for our choice of charity.
Well, and the beautiful thing about Alzheimer's Research is they seem to be raising awareness. People in the past just had like a funny auntie or a funny grandma or something, and oh yes, they've gone a little bit strange at this time. And yet now the awareness is there and the research is going into it, isn't it? So you kind of feel like you're contributing to something worthwhile that is making progress, that is getting somewhere into the root of all this problem. Because it is, isn't it? It's horrible.
Yeah, no,
nasty, pernicious disease.
Absolutely. And I understand that research into dementia is currently underfunded. So I think charities like these are really, really important. And it kind of gets Alzheimer's kind of and dementia both into people's awareness. And I think it's quite a lot of people have been affected by it, or know people affected by it. So I think it's fantastic.
So, how many of you from PwC?
So, in 2011, there were 6 of us, and we're hoping for this year there to be 8 of us, plus my mum and dad and my in-laws and my husband.
You're doing what we do, just roping everybody in.
Everyone gets roped in.
Huge guilt trip. And you're not doing the 2-mile walk, are you? We're all doing the big one.
Yes,
yeah,
good,
we're all doing the 9-mile walk.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. It's going to be good fun as well, because the weather's going to be great. We know that. We booked it. And it's a 10 a.m. start. It's from Comberton Village College. Or
yes.
Comberton Leisure, to be absolutely true. If I stand outside the wrong bit, it's just out of force of habit. I'm waiting for my son to arrive. Just come and get me.
I'll drive you around, it's fine. Yeah,
exactly. Over 18s, £15 to register. Under 18s, £7.50. But also looking for people to raise sponsorship as well. You can find out more from alzheimersresearchuk.org/bigwalk, big-walk. So are you gonna just walk this, or are you out for a run? You're an accountancy type. You're all competitive, aren't you? There's going to be some team-building event going on in the meantime, aren't you? Bridges over streams and things.
Well, you know what? I love walking. It's one of my favourite things to do, and I just like taking it at a leisurely pace and chatting to everyone as I go along, and following it up with a nice pub kind of...
Well, there is a pub, pub halfway round, isn't there?
Tea, something to finish it off to kind of get everyone together.
Yes, I think we'll be able to spot the accountants in the pub. Don't you? Well, we're going to be in fancy dress.
Fantastic. What are you dressing up as?
Us two.
What are we dressing up as now?
We're going to go as the 118-118 people, but we're going to go as 105-105.
Excellent.
So we'll have our own take on the 118-118. When I said the other day, right, so I've got to go and find my hideously tight shorts, my wife lost all the colour in her face. It drained visibly.
I've seen a picture of you in those shorts, actually.
Promise me you're not. I said, I've got to. She said, promise me you're not. I said, I've got to. So we're having that little debate.
So we're both wearing ridiculous shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And ridiculous wigs.
Mm-hmm.
And what are those vests called that I call
singlets.
Tank tops?
Singlets.
Singlets, right. Yeah.
So I'll definitely be able to spot you then.
You'll know us on the day.
Yeah. Try not to look.
Yeah. Everyone else, of course, will be wearing a sea of purple, won't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Got the T-shirt. I've got the T-shirt from 2011 and get a new one for this year. So.
Well, we're really looking forward to the day. Cambridge 105 will be broadcasting live from the event and a whole team of us, plus dogs and children, assorted dogs and children, won't
they? Yeah, we'll pick up anyone. It's fine.
Yeah, so there's going to be a whole... Look, great. We'll see you there on the day. All right, so that was Charlotte Hatchard of PricewaterhouseCoopers in Cambridge, who's going to be joining us on the big walk on Sunday the 9th of June. I hope you're all putting dates
almost
to your
diet. Almost her entire family, it sounded like.
Yeah, well, do you know, I'd like a load of listeners to come along with us.
I might drag my mother along as well.
Please do. Registration forms for everybody.
Yes, Jackie, you're coming.
Is Felix coming?
Oh, yeah, he can come.
Yeah, good. Can you make sure he does?
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
That's two more.
Two
yeah.
more. Right, okay. And if you'd like to join us as an honorary Cambridge 105 person for the day, drop us an email, breakfast@cambridge105.fm. Come along for the walk. It'd be good fun. You have to put up with us too, in fancy dress. But apart from that, it'd be good. Dr. Laura Phipps is with us. Got to behave. We've got a doctor in the house now. Dr. Laura Phipps from Alzheimer's Research UK. Laura, good morning.
Hiya.
Okay, now your job is the science communications officer. So that sounds like you know what's going on.
Well, I hope so sometimes. My role is to really take the science that we're funding and communicate it out to the public, because we rely on public donations to fund almost all of our work. So it's really important that we tell people about the progress that we're making, we tell people about new breakthroughs that our scientists are making, and also help people to understand dementia and to feel like they have the information that they need when a loved one gets a diagnosis.
Yeah, because what are the early signs? What should you be looking out for?
Well, they can vary, really. I think there's often this preconceived idea that dementia is only memory loss. And memory loss is a really common early feature of diseases like Alzheimer's. So it might be really subtle to start with, but then it might start to get slightly worse, interfere with somebody's kind of ability to go about their day-to-day life. So it's probably more than just forgetting where you put your keys, because that happens to all of us. But forgetting where you parked your car might be normal, but forgetting that you brought the car might not be normal.
Right.
So it starts to interfere with people's day-to-day lives. But memory loss isn't the only symptom of dementia. So for some causes of dementia, personality change can be a really common symptom. So for frontotemporal dementia, that tends to affect people under the age of 65, and because the frontal lobes of your brain control your emotion and your personality, people can show real changes in their personality. They might become aggressive, they might show a lack of empathy to their loved ones. Really, really difficult symptoms to grapple with, and often symptoms that are similar to things like depression.
Right.
So it can be very difficult to get a straight diagnosis for those people.
Okay, we met a lady the other week. This was Pauline. And Pauline came from three generations. She was the fourth generation Alzheimer's sufferer. Her grandmother, her great-grandmother and her mother had all formed. And she basically seemed to be sitting on a time bomb from her own point of view. Is there that genetic link?
Some very rare cases of Alzheimer's disease and of frontotemporal dementia can be inherited. So that means that it will pass down from generation to generation. And often, this is very rare. So only probably around 1% of cases of Alzheimer's are like this. And those families will be aware of that, because there'll be lots and lots of people in that family who are all affected. For the rest of people who are affected by Alzheimer's, there isn't such a strong genetic link. But we know from research that there are risk genes. And so families might carry some of these risk genes, and they might increase someone's risk by... say threefold or fourfold. So they won't mean that person will definitely develop Alzheimer's, but they may be more likely to.
Right. Is there steps that people can take to minimise that risk?
Well, obviously, we know, and through research, we're knowing even more really about the complexity of diseases like Alzheimer's. So there isn't a straight cause. It seems like there's genetic risk factors, there's environmental risk factors, there may be lifestyle risk factors. And really, a lot of our research is trying to understand these risk factors. So at the moment, we can't say, oh, people should definitely do that and people should definitely do this. But we do know that general kind of healthy lifestyle, so maintaining a healthy weight, eating a healthy diet, taking regular exercise, basically everything that's good for your heart appears to be also good for the brain. Yeah.
Wow. OK, let's talk about the day itself then. It's an important day for Alzheimer's research. You get quite a bit of money as a result of this, do you?
Yeah, it's fantastic. We're hoping to raise £30,000 this year, and that will fund an entire pilot project. So we fund a lot of pilot projects, and these are kind of short-term grants that we give to scientists to really help them to take an initial idea and see what happens with it. And we hope that by giving these kind of innovative startup grants, that scientists will then get enough information to be able to apply for much larger grants from other places, so really to kickstart their research. And that's what we're hoping the money raised from the big walk will be able to do.
So this isn't just paying your electricity bill and your water rates. This is actually going, the money that's being raised by this is going directly to frontline research.
Absolutely, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So we need to raise as much as we can, really, don't we, Booth?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so we've got our registration forms all done. If you'd like to join us, breakfast@cambridge105.fm is the email address. Come on, sign up now and come for a bit of a walk with us. It's lovely. Have you done the walk before, Laura?
Yeah, well, last year I didn't walk it, but last year I helped out all day. So greeting people, meeting everyone who's doing it, meeting them as they came back from the walk, and it was lovely weather. It was a really, really nice day. And it's nice that everybody gets together as well, because you'll find that even if you go just as a two or just, you know, with your partner or your family, you'll find that you just end up talking to everyone, and everyone will share their experiences, and everyone makes new friends. And we have a lot of our champions who are people who have done loads for us over the years, people who have been affected, who are really passionate about Alzheimer's Research UK. And they come down as well, and they get to meet each other and they chat to everyone. And it's just a really nice, friendly environment.
You were saying, we talked to Pauline a couple of weeks ago. She was one of the helpers on the day. Mm. You can always use a few more helpers. So if people aren't up for the walk, that they could still come and help you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got the 9 mile walk. We've got this year the 2 mile walk for people who maybe have got younger children or not so good on their feet. And we're also looking for volunteers. So if you want to come along and get involved and show your support, but you don't really want to take part in the walking, then yeah, drop the Big Walk team a line. And they're always looking for volunteers who can come down and help out.
Okay, I'm just going to give out the numbers. If you'd like to give Laura and her team a call, it's 0300 111 5. 777, that's 0300 111 5777. Or you can drop them an email, bigwalk, or one word, at alzheimersresearchuk.org. If you're driving along, you think, yeah, that's great, Neil. Thanks for reading that out while I'm trying to negotiate the A14. Just send us a text or an email here at the studio, and we'll pass you out those details. We're looking for people on Sunday the 9th of June. It's a 10 o'clock start from Comberton Village College, and it's a lovely walk. I mean, I live out that part of the world. It's a lovely part of the world, isn't it? It's going to be a great day.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic.
It'll be great. We'll see you on the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you both for coming in, and let's get some money under our belts and get going. We really have got to sort these wigs out as well, Booth.
Well, we're going over after the show today, aren't we?
We are, yes. And I see you're growing
your... limited ourselves? Don't even.
I was going to say, you're growing your moustache already.
Thank you. Isn't he so charming?
Okay, so that's Dr. Laura Phipps of Alzheimer's Research UK and Charlotte Hatchard of PricewaterhouseCoopers here in Cambridge. Thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you also for not taking all the hot cross buns.
Thanks. Yeah, we can't eat all them if we're doing a walk. We can't eat 7 or 10, whatever it is.
Now, Laura will confirm they are actually good as a means of preventing the onset of Alzheimer's. It's fine. I've read it in a book. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Book of make-believe. Thank you, ladies. Lovely to meet
thank you.
We have Morgan, who we are referring to as a wine man, I'm afraid. And we've also decided you're a pretty poor superhero because, you know, tipsy
wine
Superman
man.
Kind of.
I need a cape, don't
yes.
I?
And it must Next be... time you come in, we'll bring you a cape.
Should it be a red-coloured cape or a sort of green-white wine-coloured cape? Well, there's the problem.
Today it should be red, shouldn't it? Since we're discussing summer red wines.
And in fact, on the subject of superheroes, are you going to see the new Superman film, which looks spectacular? Yeah. Yeah. It looks so well made. I'm really looking forward to that. And, of course, the new Star Trek film, which
you
I'm going to go and
anything,
see tonight.
You,
yes, I nothing to do with wine at the moment. I'm Star Trek. I'm going to see that tonight.
Oh,
and I
you're
thought,
a
well
Trekkie. tea. Oh.
Yes, I'm quite into that.
You'll have to make it up to me with good wine. What are we discussing?
Well, what do you like to drink in the summer, Lottie? I
always say that I'm a white wine person.
Yes.
But since I started drinking chilled red wine,
yes,
I'm pretty happy with red wine in the summer now.
Yes. And but what sort of red wines do you chill? You presume
that's
you don't,
interesting.
You don't chuck a Malbec in the fridge, do
no,
you?
No. But I don't think I do. I have a Spanish Tempranillo.
Nillo.
Yes! Neo, though, isn't it? It's pronounced Neo.
Neo, yeah.
Yes, that's the one, because I keep calling Tarantino, and it's clearly not called Tarantino. So, yes, I have one of those.
Okay, well, other red wines you can chill? Beaujolais and some Pinot Noirs. You're looking for the lighter body type wines. The lighter reds are fine to chill. Yeah,
that
and,
really flies in the face of back in the 80s when I first used to do that. People just used to look at me as if to go, "You heathen."
But you were actually a closet expert.
Well, because Beaujolais Nouveau was always better if you froze it. Had it like a lolly. When they used to do the Beaujolais run, yes, that was always the thing. Everyone just, oh, you need to let it warm up. No! Worst thing you could ever do with Beaujolais Nouveau, chill
yes,
it.
Yes. That Beaujolais run, that was really a bit of a marketing fad, wasn't
it?
You
great,
know,
wasn't
here
it?
We are, we've got the wine that we can ferment fastest and get to market fastest. So we're going to get it to you by the third Thursday of November, and we're going to have a race to Paris. Who gets there first? And it was all just a bit of a marketing
ploy. It was
great
dreamed fun.
Up in the 80s.
You used to love Beaujolais Nouveau Day. Always used to take a day off work.
Well, it's still
never
there.
Never used to tell the boss.
It still happens.
Does
it's
it?
It's just, yeah, that the tension has moved off of it because we're not as impressed as we used to be, I guess. And people are, I think, a little bit tired of Beaujolais Nouveau because it's only a wine that lasts for a short time. You should drink it pretty quick because it pretty quickly fades. But I quite like it. When it comes, I pick up one from Waitrose when I see it and drink it. If you drink it fast, it's got that lovely banana-y thing going on with it that is, you know, unusual. You don't get that in a lot of wine. But it's a bit of a fad.
Yeah.
So I've brought a Beaujolais because we're going to talk about summer reds, but we'll talk about it in a bit later. And it's not a Beaujolais Nouveau. That's the important thing.
Okay.
But the other thing, last night I did a summer wine tasting with a group of 14, 15 people. And we started off with a Prosecco. You like Prosecco, don't you, Lottie?
Very much so, yes.
What do you like about Prosecco?
Quantity.
Well, no, it's quite low alcohol, that's good for me.
Okay.
Because I can't drink very much. Really.
And it's a simple fruity taste,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's light and it's... Yeah,
it's summer. It's definitely summer. Well, we tried one and it was basically Jamie's Italian Prosecco. So it splattered across the label was the exact same logo that you see outside Jamie's Italian restaurant.
Oh, wow.
That Italian restaurant, Jamie's Italian. And when he puts when he does his books, I suppose, has probably got the same Jamie's Italian if he does an Italian book. And that's exact same logo on this bottle, both on the neck and on the back. And you think, what's this? We'll come out of the restaurant or something?
So someone nicked a job lot, have they?
Yeah, but it's not. It was actually in Tesco.
Okay.
So I picked it up and I thought, let's give it a try.
But he's Sainsbury's man.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's a point.
But has he stopped?
Is he still
that? Yeah, I don't know.
Dinner.
He might not be. Yeah. So anyway, it was in Tesco and picked it up. Thought, well, it might be a little bit of fun. We're being lighthearted. It's summer. I don't know if it's a good quality one or not. And we tried it and we were actually quite impressed. But the least impressive part of it was that we knew, because we looked it up on the website for Jamie's Italian Restaurant. So in Cambridge, Jamie's Italian and any other place he has an Italian restaurant, you can buy this wine for £26 a bottle.
That's very reasonable, I would have thought. If it's Jamie's, he's gone to a lot of trouble treading the grapes himself.
Except when you find that it's on offer in Tesco at the moment for £7.99.
You are kidding.
Mm. So is it actually on offer then? I mean, is it discount or is that...
Discounted from $9.99.
Oh, so not
for
a drastic
goodness,
amount. That's ridiculous. You would have thought, you know, if you try it in the restaurant, oh, I can actually go buy this somewhere, or oh, I've picked this up on the shelf, or my order. No, it's way too expensive.
That is a marketing nightmare.
Jamie, how could you?
Who thought that one through? Because people are going to go in there now and go, really? You're going to charge me £26 for something I can buy £9 in Tesco's? Tell you what, mate, I'll be back in a minute. You do corkage.
Yeah. What's the standard sort of markup cost from supermarkets?
Well,
that's restaurant? What
I'm going to sort of... That's the thing. What do we think it is? Are you surprised to think that it is actually one and, you know, two and a half times? When you see the prices of bottles in restaurants, do you think, oh, well, they're maybe only making a 50% markup on that?
But no, I always think double.
Yeah. Double.
So it's at least double.
Yeah.
And because, you know, they've had to store it for you.
Oh, yeah. Cupboards don't come cheap, do they?
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit of a crazy thing. They've got they've got you as a... you know, what do they call it? A captive audience, yeah. Haven't they? So you can't do anything about it. I have occasionally asked about corkage because I've thought, no, I want to bring a really special wine. Could I please bring my really special wine for my friends that I want to open that, I just know you wouldn't sell. they say, well, yes, our corkage is the price of our cheapest wine on the wine list. That's how they do corkage.
That's
now.
Fine.
Well, that almost cheap destroys the point, though. Yeah, because exactly, if you're going to bring a Prosecco
pounds.
And say, I want to buy it from Tesco, please, and they said, well, okay, but our cheapest Prosecco is 26, so you're going to have to pay 26
corkage. Yeah, okay.
It's not
going
to work,
point.
Is it?
Fair point.
So, yeah, they've got you captive there, but some restaurants sell good wines. Anyway, we opened
Jamie probably
Italian.
Does sell.
Well, we liked it. What we're saying is you liked it.
I
it's
did
just,
like
hang
it.
On a minute, that is probably not the cleverest thing, as seen on TV, $9.99 down to $7.99.
Most restaurants sell stuff that you can't buy in shops, that's the thing.
Well, I think I may have mentioned to you last time about when we were talking about Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
And there was a Pinot Grigio that we used to be able to pick up at EastEnders in Calais, literally for £6.50 for a box of six. And I got charged £15.95 for a bottle of it in an Italian restaurant in Bulldog. And I thought, this is exactly what I have just paid...
Yeah,
£1 10p for.
No, they're getting smarter. They're buying stuff from wholesalers that have a special line that they only supply to restaurants in order to exactly avoid this problem. But it was a good Prosecco. Lots of lovely pear, quite apple-y as well, and quite ripe red apple rather than sort of green apple. So nicely soft and sweet, and it was quite nice. Good for a summer party. That would have been good. So... that was for the sparkling. So we do sparkling. And you drink lovely, crisp white wines for summer too.
Mm.
But we'll talk about those when we do summer whites.
That could be an interesting day. Book us an extra couple of hours for that one.
But you know how why Prosecco is so fruity, whereas champagne is bready? It's because it's made in a different method, right? So with champagne, you do a second ferment in the bottle and you keep the bottle on the side and the yeast falls out of the wine, forms a sediment along the bottle and the end of the bottle and contributes this yeasty, bready flavour. With Prosecco, you do a second ferment in a big tank. So right. As the yeast falls out of the wine, it just kind of forms at the bottom of the tank and there's too much volume of wine to ever interact with that yeast and get any flavour. So it stays completely fruity. It doesn't pick up all this, this bready stuff. But it's made otherwise, same method, second ferment. But not in bottle, and that's the critical thing. If you want quality sparkling wine, top, and it's going to cost you money, it will have been done in the bottle. But with Prosecco, it's done in a tank. That's not bad if you just want the fruity style. So, what do we do? Should we go on to this our first light red, or should we do our break for traffic or something like that?
What do you want to do? Should we, while he's opening the bottle?
Look at the roads and see if anything's urgent.
Let's do that, shall we?
Yeah,
how are we getting on?
I'm pouring a Beaujolais, and it's a Beaujolais Chirouble, which is one of the 10 top cru villages in Beaujolais. So you can buy just like basic Beaujolais. You buy Beaujolais Village, which is like 39 villages.
Right.
And it doesn't say which particular ones. Or they're these top 10, which are the best areas. And village level wine in French, in the French law system, kind of means you get better quality. You're getting it from just one village and it's considered the best village. So whether it's in Burgundy or Bordeaux, if they've labelled it with a village name, you're going to pay a bit more money. But the great thing about Beaujolais is it's still about £10. And
yes,
that's good price, yeah. And that's basically because they don't consider Beaujolais to be nearly as complex as some of the other, say, Burgundy village appellations, for example, which can get much more complex and developed.
So it's honest pricing.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's Gamay, it's a simple sort of wine, except that it's not made like Beaujolais Nouveau just from carbonic maceration, which is another form of fermentation, which kind of happens naturally. If you put grapes in a glass, they'd crush the grapes at the bottom, and that would release the juice and begin to ferment with the natural yeast on the skins, and it would begin to put carbon dioxide into the jug, because carbon dioxide is a byproduct of fermentation. So this might be how wine was first discovered by early man. He had a container of grapes in a rudimentary some sort of container, crushed the ones at the bottom, put carbon dioxide in, and because it removed oxygen, the grape starts to do this spontaneous alcoholic fermentation within the grape itself.
Wow.
It's quite remarkable.
Yeah.
It just like just happens because it needs oxygen.
Nature
it hasn't
is its
got
best.
Oxygen, so yeah, it does this other thing. And so it started to make it go alcoholic, but it creates a particular kind of flavour with that, a bit banana and kirsch, because it doesn't pull out so much tannin from the skin. So this is a less tannin wine. And so if people get headaches, we were talking about headaches during the break, people say, got headaches from red wine, I can't drink it, got to go on to white wine. Often that can be the tannin content that might cause that. So this is typically lots of colour, but not a load of tannin. And village level Beaujolais might start with carbonic maceration, but then goes on to ordinary fermentation. So you get a better kind of wine from it. It's not just made that way. So smelling this, you do get a little bit of that banana and maybe some sort of red pear, even pear in wine juice.
I love it.
It's, have you tried it yet?
Yes.
Oh, you're already in there.
I'm in
yeah?
there. Sorry, because it's Beaujolais. It's one of my favourites.
Hey. I mean, it's nice and light
it's
and
great.
Simple and great for summer. Yeah.
It's easy drinking. It's yeah. easy drinking. You have a even red meats. It's you got to be a bit careful, haven't you? Because with a steak, but with lamb maybe.
Yeah,
beautiful.
You can do. Yeah, you beautiful. Can put it. It will go with like summer salads as well, and because there's not too much in there that's too strongly competing. So this is a Georges Dubœuf Chérouble, and he's considered the king of Beaujolais because he really put Beaujolais on the map in the 1980s.
So I recognise the name. Has it become? Is it? It's not in danger of being overbranded though. Is it? Is it not become like a huge factory outside?
No, he still makes very good wine, and so this is just £10 in Waitrose, £9.99 for Georges Dubœuf Chérouble. He makes all the other villages as well. So I'm just going to taste it.
That is just, I've got to say, that is absolutely gorgeous. That's me for the day.
Very berry. Mm. Very lovely berry. And look at the label. Isn't that nice and summery?
It's
got
is.
Lovely sort of violet and, well, blossom, purple blossoms on it.
I think very that's my favourite bit. I don't like it.
Label design.
Yeah.
You don't like the wine?
It's too sharp.
It's got acidity.
For me.
It's got that tangy freshiness. But if you were out in the sun, you see, and you just, you'd got something that you
I know,
were
maybe if I had a steak or something.
At.
I don't know. Oh, right. Nibbling is a steak.
So you like more a far heavier wine, do you?
More no, into that's heavy for me. Maybe because I've only had half a muffin this morning. I don't know.
Right.
But I think you don't like heavy wine, but I'm going to try you now on this old vine Zinfandel, which you're thinking is going to be too heavy.
Well,
but
I think I do. I'm just a bit
I pick
scared.
Up from you that you don't like the acidity. You don't like sharpness
no,
in
I like
wine.
Buttery.
Well, this is kind of a buttery version of a buttery white in a red wine.
Okay,
it's
sounds
sort of got that because it's kind of very ripe fruited.
Am I okay to show your glass? We seem to be
showing
glasses.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Now.
We're swapping
okay.
around now, aren't we? Yeah, no problem. And Neil wants some, so.
Oh, that's
flipping
smells.
Right, Neil wants one.
Yeah, we're basically just downing bottles.
Oh,
no, we're
dear.
Not.
Pass me your glass
yes.
then, and I'll empty that
okay,
and I'll
thank
I'll
you.
Have that one.
Sorry.
No problem. We're doing. What, it's musical
this,
glasses.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
This instantly smells like something I'd prefer.
Well, there you go. I thought that might be the case. Now, this has actually got more tannin and more alcohol, and
really?
It's heavier, considered heavier. What you class as heavy is actually sharp, and I think it's when it's got a high acid content, that's when you think, oh, that's heavy. But what you really mean is it's way too sharp for me, and you prefer the softer style.
Now, this would go beautifully just from the smell. This is steak. This is steak meat.
Yeah.
This would... The other one wouldn't. You wouldn't have the Beaujolais. That's why I said lamb. This is the sort of thing I would put with a steak.
It is lovely vanilla-y raspberry. Loads and loads of... And it's not just fresh raspberry, it's baked raspberry. So you've taken that raspberry off the bush, you've put it into a crumble and put it in the oven.
And I mean, well, this... Yeah, I mean, we said this last time. As soon as I smell that, instantly, roast beef's just coming out.
Mm.
Yorkshire's almost done. And my mind is getting set for Sunday lunch now, and then a nap.
So this comes from California, from Old Vines. You will see sometimes a bottle in the California section of a wine shop, and it says Old Vines Zinfandel. No, well, this is completely different from White Zinfandel. Don't touch White Zinfandel.
But that's very much an American product, isn't it? Zinfandel as a grape. I've only ever really heard of it as coming from that part of the world. Is that right?
They're laying claim to the term Zinfandel, but in fact the grape is the same as Italian's Primitivo.
Oh, okay.
So that's the same grape, but it will be a different style if you buy it from Italy. So they've got it baked under that California sun, and then they've taken it from old vines. Now, these vines can be over 100 years old. Incredible length on these vines.
And is that a good thing?
It's what happens to the average winemaker is the vine, after about 60 years, 70, 80 years definitely, it starts to produce less fruit.
Right.
So he'll want to then, he thinks, well, I can't produce enough volume of wine. I'm going to uproot it and I'll plant again. I'll have to wait 3 years for the new vines to take root, but I'll start all over again because he needs to produce good volume of wine. But in California, in Lodi in particular, they've got these really old vines, and they say, well, instead of uprooting them, because they start to produce more concentrated fruit, it's not as much, but it's loads of flavour, we'll actually just charge you more for the wine. And that's become the reputation, really. So people will seek out old vines in Zinfandel because it is gorgeous and concentrated. You're liking it, Lottie.
Yeah,
you've tasted
lovely.
It, yeah?
Mm.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit like, I sometimes say it's a little bit like middle-aged men, you know. We start to get, it, because the production of
careful,
berries...
Careful, there's two of us in the room.
Yeah, yeah. The production of berries is the vine's sexual reproduction process. It's trying to reproduce berries that will fall to the ground with seeds and make new vines mm-hmm. to reproduce itself. So if, as it's getting older, it's getting less frequent in the production of those berries...
Keep going, fella.
It's not doing as much in terms of volume. What it is doing is better in quality. Yeah. That's the thing. And that's what, of course, our wives, I'm sure, would agree. But our lives, we're better at it.
I got in trouble for saying placenta the other day. It's absolutely delicious, though.
Yeah, worth seeking out. This one comes from the Wine Society. And, you know, as I said, you would have to pay a little bit more quite often for old vines in Zinfandel. But this is the society's own. They just brand it. You know, this is our one that we kind of chose. And the Wine Society work hard to give you value. So they've managed to get this bottle to you at £7.50.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really was expecting a one in front of that.
Yeah, yeah. So that is good.
What?
You have
17, to... 18. So about 17, 18. I thought you were going to come in about, you know, the way you phrased it, the way you described that there's not so much of it, the taste of it. I'd have thought, well, like, we're heading towards £20 on this one.
Ah.
Mark finds the bargains.
That is a bargain. Yes. That is a bargain.
You have to join the Wine Society, though, and that costs you £40, but it's a one-off lifetime joining fee. You would only have to pay again. And they'll give you £10 off your first order, so it's only cost you £30. And then it's free delivery for anything over £75 value of order.
Okay.
But you can order one bottle and they'll charge you £5 delivery.
That's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So you actually recommend the Wine Society as a...
They are non-profit. They're the only online retailer that you can find that are working hard to make sure that they give you really good value. Some of the others, you wonder whether you're being fleeced. These are non-profit.
I'd like to ask you about that at some point. Maybe not today because we're heading up towards the news, but something to think about for another visit. Because we've fallen foul of a few of these. I'd say fallen foul. What you get in the first few deliveries is not what you then start to get. That it sent to us that you were spending the same sort of money each time, but what was actually turning out was probably a little bit more of the new world type stuff rather than, you know, you'd get French and Italian wines coming through in the first few bottles, and then suddenly they're starting to palm you off with South African and Australian and this sort of stuff. And it just, the taste was just very chemically. And we've tried this across two or three online ordering ones, so I'm not going to single anybody out. Actually, I could tell you all three.
Just go into your local wine shop.
Yeah. But the trouble is, you know, we live out in the village. There isn't a local wine shop. There's a garage at the top of the village, and that's sort of like a little mini Threshers in there.
So this is where online really stores it's the convenience. So the Wine Society for you, I will recommend you. You need to be proposed. Well, you don't have to, but you can be proposed. So I can recommend you, and maybe I get entered into
I'd like to give that a go, because we, as I say, we've fallen foul and wound up cancelling over the years. There was one which was very good. They used to send you through all these sheets about the wine and all this sort of stuff and where it was from and all about the vineyard. Then suddenly that stopped. And you didn't have this reference book thing that they were doing anymore. Yeah. And they were just shipping through the wine. You think, yeah, do you know what? Because you're just kind of buying this in bulk from a factory and it tastes like it.
Yeah.
And we were very disappointed and we always wound up cancelling. And it doesn't matter how many times they keep pestering us by phone, we're not going to sign back up.
Good. Well, we will return to this subject. But meanwhile, summer, when... Lottie, you're doing the weather. When is the summer coming back again?
Oh, I don't know. I'm hoping every day. We seem to get an hour of sunshine and it's summer and then we get boring old October, November rain again.
I looked at the forecast. It said this Sunday sort of okay, the following Sunday, so a week and a bit away, looks like the first bit of sun again.
Fingers
but
crossed.
That's a long way
that's
away.
That's far enough so. Away to be wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Never know.
Okay, so that's summer reds. Next time it's summer whites.
And online ordering.
And online ordering. Yes. Yeah, okay. I'd like to talk about that. Things going on at the wine school.
So we've got an 8-week course starting in on the 11th of June. So if you fancy actually touring the whole world of wine, you can sign up to that. There are, of course, single evenings. We've got a champagne and sparkling evening on the 19th of June. So all available at CambridgeshireWineSchool.com. Easy to book online and all the details about where they're taking place on there.
Lovely, Mark. Marvellous. Thanks for coming in this morning. Lovely to see
you. Thank you so much.
Well, you're happy now because you've actually got one that you've had a couple that you like. Well, one you didn't like too much.
Really
and
nice.
One you've liked. That's Mark Anstead. He's from the Cambridge Wine School. That website again, Mark?
CambridgeshireWineSchool.com.
We'll see you again soon.